on. It was probably one of the easier times that I had, to be honest with you. Thoroughly enjoyed it. But as we've just seen with Graham, it's a tenuous position, and just like that, you can be gone.
Join in the obsession. Subscribe now at offtheball.com/join.
OTB GAA. The Football Pod on Off The Ball.
In partnership with AIB.
Proud sponsors of the GAA Senior Football Championship.
Check out #TheToughest for more.
Hello there, and you're very welcome along to another episode of The Football Pod. No Paddy Andrews right now. We're hoping he might join us. He may not. But I do have James O'Donoghue, my trusted left corner forward. How are you, fella?
The more reliable host.
Yeah, our former All-Star on the pod. May not have as many All-Ireland medals, but you have won All-Stars, which is maybe the reason why Paddy ditched us tonight.
He knew the jokes were coming tonight.
Maybe.
We could have absolutely hammered him. It was the one time we actually had something on him.
I really wanted to have him here because I wanted him to tell me that All-Stars don't matter.
Well, he would say that, to be fair to him. How many times was he nominated? I'd say he has.
He probably got
a lot of nominations.
Two or three nominations, absolutely. I'm not sure if he got many more than that. How many times do you remember?
I think being nominated is important. It's nearly, it's not more important than winning or whatever, but sometimes when you're nominated, you're part of the night and you're part of the year. Do you know, I hate seeing fellas that deserve to be nominated not getting nominated. I just think it's hard for them.
It's tough, like you're kind of
left out. It's like you're not invited to the party, which is tough. But
yeah,
that's it.
It is it. I suppose that's kind of sport as well. Like people like, we might go through the team in a little while. Some people were very, very, very unlucky to miss out. I think that's the way it should be. I thought it was class that there was 14 all-time All-Star winners for the first time. 14 players had never won before. Nine clubs had earned their first All-Star. So like, think of the kids in all those clubs who now have an All-Star to look up to and to chat to and to get to sign things, and they'll be at functions now for the rest of their lives or giving out medals. It's just cool that there's a new generation of All-Star winners. And I my first All-Stars that I was at on Friday night attending them, I thought there was a bit of a nice atmosphere at them. There was a good buzz. Yeah. And, you know, anyone that was there seemed to have a good time. So definitely.
I think Maher and Finnerty were the first for their club at all, were they?
Technically in Sultan Knocknacara. Now, Sultan Knocknacara is a club in Galway that have had All-Star winners play for them, but not at the time. No. You know, they would have transferred in. They would have had a lot of players kind of moving in. So that's
for them to get two is unbelievable for the club. Imagine how much you can push that as a club and, you know, get stuff done and get people involved and promote the boys. I think it's just massive. Because I see it down here with Foster, with Paddy and David Clifford, like the two together, so powerful. It's like the lads, you know, they call them the two boys. Or the two lads, it's just they're together and everything. It's just nice for a club to have that. Like.
They're also like very good buddies as well. Like, what a growing up together.
Are they?
Did you hear Rob giving his father a bit of a ribbon on stage beforehand? Yeah. No, I kind of like that, and was having a bit of a laugh with Anthony afterwards. But you know, Maher was just mentioning that, you know, that's the kind of crack he'd heard in the sitting room, or Anthony bringing them to games when they were younger. Maurice Brosnan wrote a really good piece with the three Footballer of the Year nominees, Paul Conroy, Barry McCambridge and John Maher during the week. Well worth reading on the Examiner. Three really nice pieces. And Maher was talking about being bundled into the back of the car with Rob Finnerty's dad. So for the two of them to win together, I'm sure it was special. Another point on John Maher, and I'd like to make this point, and hopefully in future years it changes it. I noted that John Maher was the 11th player up. So he's number 11 on the team. He was the first fella to smile, to break a smile. Now, we did end up having five smiles after it. So it was like, oh, John smiled. Maybe I can smile too. They were way too serious before that. Like, what's the story, James?
Nerves, I suppose, and pressure. And, you know, with the All-Stars, it's kind of like a thing of you have to almost be half embarrassed to get one or something. It's like, oh, I can't be shown here to be too happy at getting this individual award, you know? Whereas hopefully those days are dying out, we can just go and enjoy the night and have a bit of crack with the lads. That's what it's all about. But I think there is still that thing with an All-Star. You have to be dead serious and not really let too much away to anyone, which is, it could be a bit of a pain in the arse really, but at least you got five smiles afterwards.
Yeah, I'm just not happy with that. I think we should change it. I think I'm going to slip a photo up here on putting this clip on TikTok and social media. It's the suave looking James Bond-esque, James O'Donoghue strolling out with blue strobe lights behind him. It's a Brendan Moran photo on Sportsfile. There's a little smirk. I remember a little wink to the cameras that night as well. You were taking it the moment.
Brendan Moran was always good to me. He'd always make me look good. Whatever he was doing, the filters, he had that.
Brendan knows what he's doing.
I would have to thank Brendan for there.
Yeah. You're shaking hands at the time with the GPA president of the day, Desi Farrell.
Yeah.
There's a nice
that was a
word
good
there.
That was a good buzz now, because that was our team was read out on the night as well. And we lost the semi-final to Dublin. And I'd missed the quarter-final with hamstring injury.
No, I'm talking about 14 here. I'm talking about football.
Oh, 14. Oh, sorry. 14, yeah. 14.
But go on. Keep going. Keep going.
I'm talking about 13. When I got an All-Star in 13. So it was called out in the night. And it was, as because you mentioned the first time All-Stars, it's a nice buzz to get it when it's announced on the night. You know, you're really, you don't know what's going to happen. And then you're like allocated a seat. And you're kind of reading into it based on where you're sitting. If you're sitting on the aisle by the walkway, you think, I have a good chance here. If you're sitting in the middle of the row, you have absolutely no chance, because they're not going to wait for you to push out past everyone.
Yeah.
That's where Paddy was. He was in the middle of the row every morning.
You remember it. I'm going to re-edit the clip, because I'm actually seeing the photo of you in 2013. So 14 was the one I was looking at when you won Footballer of the Year. 13, James, there's a Cheshire cat grin across your face. You're in your three-piece tux. You've got the little winged shirt. I think that style has gone out of fashion now. And
That'll be back.
You're beaming, fella. And even in the team photo, now this is a good one, right? Because that was a good All-Star team that year, right? In the team photo, you have got Cluxton beside you and you're both smiling. Why was it a happier time back then? That was a cracking team.
That was a great year for football as well. I wanted listen, some of those games were absolutely incredible.
Listen to this: Stephen Cluxton, James O'Donoghue, Bernard Brogan, Sean Kavanagh, Aidan O'Shea, Keane O'Sullivan, Keith Higgins, Conor McManus, Colin Boyle, Rory O'Carroll, Paul Flynn, Colin Walsh from Monaghan, Michael Darren McCauley, Lee Keegan,
Gooch.
And the last man, the Gooch. That must have been pretty cool winning with
Jesus. That is actually. That is some team first. Some of those names are incredible. Yeah. But I was so happy as well that they got it with the Gooch, because there'd be whatever events on and stuff then through the year. And I always got to go with Cullum then to them events and showing the ropes and how to carry yourself. He was such an expert at all that stuff. Like, he just had it down to a T. So I remember being delighted to be able to spend a couple of evenings with Cullum there as well, because he was such a pro, such a legend.
Yeah, seven of the team that year in 13 were first-time All-Star winners. And you went, like, you can see what so many of them have gone on to achieve since then. Colin was actually collecting his eighth at the time. Cluxton and Kavanagh are fifth. The likes of Higgins and Keegan and Michael Darren McCauley, who was Footballer of the Year that year in 13, were picking up their second. So a lot of them would have won either the year before that. So you can see what...
I think winning an All-Star like that, especially obviously your first one, it definitely does kick you on a bit. It gives you a little pat in the arse to say, all right, go on now. And you're kind of, not you've landed or whatever, but like you're decent. Go and have a bit of faith in yourself, because there's a lot of questioning yourself sometimes when it's a long season and you're not sure, you know, am I rated there? Am I secure in the team? Or lots of competition. And then just that little bit of a, right, you're doing all right, is nice for a young fella to get. Yeah. And to be, and you can really carry that on. That's why it's interesting now. The 14 new All-Stars, can they go and take it to new level now? Because I suppose once you get that award, all you're thinking about is getting back at it. You're thinking about next year already. So a lot of those fellas are going to be absolutely buzzing for it.
Yeah,
I can see a lot of them being kicked on and taken to new level, but I suppose with the new rules and everything, it's just going to be such a different year. We wonder how much of a change is going to be between this year and next year. I'd imagine a big change again, but...
Yeah, and we'll know so much more about that by the end of the month, 30th of November. That is D-Day. That is Special Congress, when the vote will happen about the new rules. So we'll know what's happened then. We might come back to some of the tweaks, because I know you're happy with one or two of them. But just to linger on the All-Stars, right? I know maybe it was the fact that there were so many first-time winners, but like, I was kind of chatting to loads of family members, or, you know, I know that Craig Lennon's grandfather was there, and I think the GAA.ie did a little piece of him as well. And Craig was on Off the Ball on Friday morning talking about it, that he was on holidays and he wasn't sure, like, and next thing he gets a text, I think the night beforehand, from his manager, Ger Brennan, to say, my sources have it that you should pick up a paper in the morning. And he was afraid to even tell his family, just in case he was wrong. But obviously somebody was letting whispers out. I don't know. Well, definitely wasn't me anyway. But Those All-Star meetings are supposed to be locked down. I saw somebody tweeting afterwards. I'm not sure what you think of this, but it was Derek Lynch, I think, that was saying, and he was like, what they should do is televise the debate that happens in the room. I'm not sure if that's what you'd be for. Now, this is my first year being involved.
That
all I
be
can a... say is, can't say very much, all I can say is I'm happy to stand over the team because of the amount of time that was spent arguing and debating and trying to figure things out, and people were all given a chance in the room to make their case. So while there weren't everyone that I had chosen on the team, I was fully ready to stand over it. But to televise it, that would be a different scenario altogether, James.
It is. But you'd have to go in there and hold your own. Like, you'd have to go in and actually come prepared, because I'd imagine, like, journalists, a lot of time, they know what to say, how to say it, when to say it. You could easily shrink there and not say your piece. But you know, was there anyone in there that didn't really speak up much?
Everyone had their say. Some people in certain positions were possibly more forthright. I would say it was very obvious that everyone had done their research, because if you hadn't, you know, you'd been found out. You know, somebody would have, like, you know, there maybe somebody might have said a wrong name or something, but you're corrected straight away. Like, if you know, if you missed something, or if there was a
removed from the room.
You know, and like, I think the fact that the way, like, it's never going to be perfect. It's not a perfect science. There may be different ways of doing it.
No, it's impossible. I don't
know. Maybe
it's an impossible call.
But maybe have a meeting, like, earlier in the year, you know, to so you don't forget. Like, Conor Callaghan scoring a hat trick for Kerry, or against Kerry in the league this year. If you remember that night,
but doesn't come into,
like, it got mentioned in the debate, like, but
you can't refer back to National League games when you're picking the All-Stars. And I'll tell you why. It's because a National League game is one thing. It's tough. It's there's a bit of pressure. You're finding your form. You're finding your fitness. That's one part of the season. A provincial championship match is a step up, depending on quality of opposition. It is in Connacht, it is in Ulster, sometimes in Munster, sometimes in Leinster. That's a higher standard again. An All-Ireland quarterfinal is another step up. But the difference then from an All-Ireland quarterfinal to an All-Ireland semifinal is absolutely huge.
Really?
The level of interest in the game, the scrutiny, the pressure, the work you're doing in training, everyone knows this is it. If you're performing in an All-Ireland semifinal, I think you're at the top of your game. Whereas if you're performing in a league match in March, you're fitter than ever. That, like, that's being kind of a bit cynical about, but that's genuinely the way it is. Like, none of the older Dublin players were even playing that game, I think. Or were they saving? Or maybe they weren't over the last couple of years anyway. They didn't play very often. They were saving themselves. I mean, the level just goes up and up and up as the games go on. And even when it goes to a semi-final, it's high. It's double again for a final. Like, everything, the level of pressure on you for a final is just so different. It's stark. And that's why I would always agree with the fact that sometimes they say the final's worth double when it comes to All-Stars. That if you play a great final, that you're catapulted ahead of a lot of fellas. I think that's fair. Because if you're playing well in the final, you are a top player, in my eyes.
As I said, there's no perfect science to it. I would believe that that definitely has a weighting and an impact. But
it should.
And it should, 100%. Massively so. Like, there's no question about that.
But it is always heavily weighted towards the finalists anyway.
It is. But also, I would make the point that this is a very different championship than how you would have picked an All-Star team back in 2000 when there was no qualifiers, right?
Yeah.
Okay? Pure knockout. Forget about the qualifiers. Like, there's players now playing 8 games that are getting to a quarterfinal, 8 championship games. Mm-hmm. And they can still have a very good season. And they can still have moments. Like, this is not the best team, right? It's about individuals. That's what it's about, rewarding individual brilliance. So I do think there are players that can have phenomenal moments in games or phenomenal performances that possibly their team don't get over the line, but they get to a certain point. Now, they have to get to a certain point. You know, Enda Smith last year, they didn't get to an All-Ireland semi-final. Did they get to the quarterfinal? They didn't. But, like, I think a lot of people could recognise that Enda Smith fully deserved his All-Star, given the impact of his performances, how he was targeted in games. Likewise, this year, Niall Morgan, Craig Lennon, maybe a lot of people were looking at them, but I think individually, like, 4-7 from play for a wing-back.
For a wing-back.
Is smashing stuff. And Loud. Mm. And it's not about Loud, but Loud did have a very big impact in the championship this year.
They did. And it's, I think it's hard for the, it's harder for the half lane players maybe to step above in terms of exposure and to get the credit. Say if you're a corner forward, the ball could hit the post, land into your arms, you tap it in for a goal, mm-hmm. and you're the hero. You know, and you've had this incredible moment, and next thing you're a fast error. Like, it's just, it's, I suppose they always say about moments and about a bit of luck that you had during the season yourself as well.
Yeah, yeah. That's fair, right? Will we leave it at, you don't want to hammer me. I know you went hard about Stephen Campbell not making a nomination.
I think Campbell should have been nominated. The rest,
I agree.
The rest I'm happy with, yeah. I think he gave Reno the one a 10. Which
yeah.
seems like he was.
Would you be annoyed now if you were Rian O'Neill?
I would. It means you weren't first choice in your position. They've found somewhere for you.
But Maher wore 11. Rian wore 14.
Well, didn't wear 10.
Would you put Rian in? 10. Would you put Rian in full forward, or would you, like, you played in half forward line? A lot of his football, you know.
I think I'm happy with the six.
Okay.
I think I'm happy to, and I suppose in football at the moment, it's not 10 to 15, like in your positions.
It's not. Not a chance.
You know, it's completely different to that. I think Reno came up with some unbelievable scores. Great leadership over the last couple of years, in fairness to him. Finnerty has done unbelievable to dig out North Star this year with his injury record. Like he played the whole season with his knee strapped to the last. It came against him in the final. Obviously,
he was
went
so
off early, but
he was so, and he started so hot. Like, he'd won a free, converted it, won a turnover.
It's the last thing you want to happen in a final, but he's got a little bit of grace with the odds. I'd be happy with that.
He was, I think he was fully deserving of it. I think he was still Galway's top scorer. Started 8 games. He probably was hampered in a few of them. You know, next year though. Like, this is the question I'd have, and I wonder, did you see this further down the line? Will he be, now as an All-Star, would he still be possibly the player that's got marked, maybe getting the third marker in that full forward line, if Walsh and Comer and himself are fit? You know, he showed how good he is, the talent he has. It'll be interesting,
I think this impact it has on players.
You know,
I think
Lennon is going to be targeted next year now, you know?
Well, I think this is the one thing that can take Finnerty to another level, because if he's ever unsure of himself, maybe, you know, the first ball is going to be going to Comer, maybe Walsh, or maybe I'm third choice here. He's the one now with the most points in the bag. He should be going into next year thinking, I'm going to take this on the level. So if I was Finnerty, I think he's in a great place for next year already. I hope his body holds up, hope his body's fit. If he adds in the dummy on the left and the finish with the right, I think that is not missing from his game, but I think he can add that in. If he takes that into his game, I think he'll go up another level. And the confidence and the belonging he'll have now after that award, I think will tell a lot.
Yeah. I think the age of that full forward line as well. They all have a level they can get to above where they got to this year. They all had brilliant years, but Turbitt, Gallen, Finnerty, it'd be interesting to see where they can bring that game. Same with a lot of the All-Stars. And as we mentioned, so many first-time winners and so many clubs getting a hold of a first All-Star, which is massive. Just before we move on, right, I thought it was class, right, that Paul Conroy won Footballer of the Year at 35 years of age. No, fella who suffered a double leg break, right, at 29. He's bounced back from that. He's played so much football since 2008 from Galway. Probably played for Galway at a time where they weren't really in the mix. He was obviously individually brilliant because he'd been nominated for, I think it was his fifth time as an All-Star nominee, first time winner. So, you know, he had always been rewarded for individual brilliance in the sense that he was getting nominated. But especially when it's a young man's game now, like,
yeah,
I forget Paddy's age. He might be 35, 36 now, but you're certainly younger than Paul Conroy.
34. Yeah. I think it is very impressive to still be to churning out training session after training session to get to that level at 35. That's one thing. But then to have the mental strength and the ability to go and actually deliver in finals and semifinals, as I said, in the huge games, he was kicking points in every game. I think his conversion rate throughout the season was unbelievable as well.
Was,
so
yeah.
The one thing that's most impressive about Conroy is that he did come back from that double leg break. I know they say double leg break is when you break the tibia and the fibula, but he actually broke his right leg and his left leg in the one challenge. Like, Horrific Imagine stuff. How difficult it is to come back from that. To be inside in the hospital and say, look, your two legs are broken here. You're going to be completely sitting down and doing nothing for a couple of months. And for his mind to stay strong and get himself back there, I think is a credit to him. And I was actually on the field when he did it.
Were you?
It was was it 17 or 18? I think it might have been, it was either the quarterfinal 17 or 18. At the group, the
it was
the
18,
groups, the super
18.
Eights.
Yeah, it was 18, yeah.
The super eights. So the ball just broke himself and Shawnee Shane, they both went in hard. And you know when they say, go in hard, don't pull out and you won't be hurt.
Mm.
The two of them went in hard. And it was almost when you could see when they were going into it that someone's not going to come out of this. It was that kind of a ball. It was a wet, slippy day in Croke Park. It was like an ice rink. And I don't know, do you put it into your own head that you can kind of hear the crack or whatever? But that's when I think about it, I can almost hear it. And obviously he had to go off and we heard after that he'd broken his leg. But yeah, to be able to come back from that and be still churning it out at 35, unbelievable. Congratulations. I just think it's a great achievement.
Yeah, no, it is remarkable. And like, I think he even spent a bit of time in a wheelchair the year after. It didn't get back in time for 2019 championship. And the manner in which he's bounced back, but it's not even like he was our top scorer, I think, from play this year. And you mentioned the conversion rate. Maris Brosnan had in his piece.
Did he get 117 or 118?
216 from 29 shots. Two. You know,
he was not
stuff,
taking
like.
On. He was not taking on easy shots.
No.
Like, a lot of them were two pointers. Like, the man could have a serious say in 2025 with the way the game is.
Yeah.
Like, a lot of his shots were from outside that arc. Yeah. Fair enough, we're saying that's going to be a leggier game, but there's surely going to be a way to get Conroy into that game and deliver big moments.
Yeah. I had a nice chat with him, actually, afterwards, that I'll play in a moment because it hasn't gone out anywhere. So I'll play that in a moment. It was out on Saturdays off the ball. But yeah, like, is what you think about the midfielders he came up against. You know, he performed against the Mayo midfield, Dublin, Armagh, Donegal. I'm sure they would have been targeting the 35 role there. Like, that's what they're looking at. Do you know what I mean?
Trying to run him, and you have to play with your brain.
Yeah,
that's the thing. The older you get, the smarter you have to be. That's why it's kind of more, it's more impressive almost the older you win it at, because you're relying on your body when you're 18 to 29. It's very much how cute you are after that.
Yeah, yeah. Well, listen, I know Paul was there with all his family and his wife Caroline were there and they had a great night. So fully deserved Footballer of the Year. We'll play this and then, James, we'll come back off the back of it and we'll talk about some of the club stories and some of the inter-county stories at the minute. Here's Paul Conroy moments after winning the 2024 PwC GAGPA Footballer of the Year. Paul Conroy of Galway and St. James's. This is a pretty special night. You've just been crowned PwC GAGPA Footballer of the Year.
Yeah, it's a bit surreal now, Tommy, to be honest. It hasn't really sunk in yet. Just, I suppose, you think of the players who got these awards down through the years, or this award down through the years, it's, you know, there's some unbelievable footballers in it. And even tonight, like the players that are getting awards and even the players that were just nominated, like there's some calibre of players in the room. And then to be picked up on stage as the best footballer for 2024, it's a massive honour and it's something that means an awful lot.
It really is special. And, you know, your family up tonight. I know your little fella's at home, maybe watching on TV. You sent them to bed there and on the coverage beforehand. But, like, that's probably the bits and pieces that are magic, that you can bring them with you up here tonight and they can enjoy it and revel in it as well. They're seeing you achieve something that they've been hoping you would as well.
Yeah, 100%. And I suppose, like, you know, to peel back the competitiveness of us all, like, you know, we all were brought up, you know, and coached by individuals who had an impact in our career. So even nights like tonight, you know, you'd often think of, like, people who coached you maybe underage, who had a big influence on you, like, whether it be in school or with the club. And even my own father, he would have taught me an awful lot growing up and worked so much with me on my skills and stuff. And unfortunately, he passed away last year. But even nights like tonight, I'd be thinking of him and how, I suppose, proud he'd be if he was here, like, and watching it. And I'm sure he is somewhere.
He's so proud of you. You know that as well.
Yeah.
Yeah, a long career that you put in. A night like this crowns it. It doesn't happen for everybody. But like you mentioned earlier on, you'd been nominated for an All-Star five times before, and tonight's actually your first. I couldn't believe tonight was your first.
Yeah, I suppose like Galway, unfortunately, like for the first probably half of my career, we were, you know, we weren't making the latter stages. You know, it was the odd quarter final here and there, but we weren't where we needed to be in terms of being competitive. So thankfully in the last couple of years, I suppose since 16 really, when Kevin Walsh came in, kind of brought us to Division 1, and thankfully we've been competitive since. And when that happens, you do get obviously individual accolades, and a lot of the lads picked up All-Stars 2 years ago, the likes of Shaney and Damo and them lads, and Killian McDade obviously, and Liam Silk. So, and then there's five more lads this evening who are picking up All-Stars, which is testament to, I suppose, the work that's been put in over the last couple of years, and long may it continue.
How different a footballer are you from the book who broke through first for Galway?
I think I'm still, like, I always played midfield, and then I suppose when I came in at 18, you're not physically strong enough to play midfield to go up against some of these monsters that are out there, but I played for a while in the forwards, and now I'm kind of, I suppose in the last couple of years since I kind of got to the level I needed to get to, I'm back out in the middle, and kind of that's where I'm happiest. But look, 2024 was there's an awful lot of positives. Obviously we're disappointed in the end, but look, we just need to look forward to 2025 and see what these new rules bring. That'll be very interesting.
Well, there you go, and I'm sure a lot of them will suit you down to the ground, Paul. So the football you played this year was brilliant. It was class to see it. Those long-range scores, the kick pass, and being in the mix in the middle of the field. A lot of the teams tonight, with the two teams that have won, there are similarities in terms of, I suppose, some of the knocks that both Clare and Armagh have taken. You've had a couple of knocks in the last couple of years. I know it doesn't work like that. It doesn't necessarily mean you're going to get over the line, but it must give you that extra bit of drive going into 25.
Yeah, 100%. And like, you have to admire them teams. Like, even Armagh obviously beating us, and Clare, and even Mayo a couple of years ago. You look at them, they lost a final and another final, but then they kept coming back and they kept coming back. Now, I know they didn't get over the line, but it's not from a lack of resilience or anything like that, you know. So I think you have no choice really but to just, you know, not to feel sorry for yourselves, dust yourselves down and go at it again, and maybe try and freshen it up with a new player or two and see what happens.
Paul Conroy, huge congratulations. Terrific year for you. Well-deserved footballer of the year.
Thank you, Tommy.
Gramila.
Cheers.
Yep, Paul Conroy there. Well done to him, and well done to all the All-Star winners hurling in football. And fair play to you all and all the nominees as well, because good night for everyone there. James,
did everyone have a good cut-off, I wonder? Was there a good atmosphere up there?
There was a great atmosphere up there, yeah. I ended up being out quite late now. You know, there was a good clatter of people out, and you bump into loads of people you know as well from...
Did you bring the microphone? And,
no, I got patted down by... I sat down at the Armagh table at one stage. I had to do a couple of interviews, but I sat down with some of the Armagh lads, and it was actually, you had text asking about the piece we'd done with Conor Turbin and Aidan Forker, and you were just, you know, how was it going down, you know, and I was sitting with Turbin at the time, so I showed him the photo. I said, James is worrying about how he's looking on air. So Turbin got a little laugh at that. But as I sat down, I think it was one of the boys patted me down looking for my mics, and I said, no, I'm off duty now. So I know it's good fun. It's good fun. They're always late nights as well, aren't they?
They would be, yeah. That's a great night, because it's kind of one of those nights where you realize that everyone is the exact same. Do you know, it's like you kind of, you're trained to hate each other or to be wary of each other, and then, you know, you're having dinner and a few pints with a new crowd, and you realize that they have the same characters in their dressing room, the same goals, the same values. So it's nice to kind of see that as well, and just give you a bit of a reality check, really.
Mm, yeah, for sure. I think that those nights are important. I think that's fair. James, loads of stuff happening at the minute, right? Peter Keane has just been appointed as Clare manager. Can you just give us a bit on Keane? Because you would have been coached by him at inter-county level and also at club level. So he was your Kerry manager from, was he there? No, it was 1920. That was it.
21.
He was there in All-Ireland semi-final against Tyrone. So 19, he nearly stopped the five in a row from the Dubs. Get brought to a replay in the All-Ireland final. 20, caught by Cork and Páirc Uíochmhainn in the knockout championship. And then in 2021, these are probably dark days that I'm reminding you of here. 2021 is Tyrone, the COVID semi-final that was delayed for a couple of weeks, beaten after extra time. So Peter Keane was there for the latter stages of your inter-county career, and he was also your club manager in Legion.
He was.
The year before this year.
He was with the Legion first in 2013, 14 and 15. And we got to a county final with the Legion, which would have been a massive step up for us to get to those kind of levels. So he did an unbelievable job with us. Then he went to the Kerry Miners, and I think he won 3 All-Irelands with the Miners, the 3 in a row, 4 in a row, 5 in a row with the Miners.
And was flying it, and then went in with the seniors in 19 after Eamon. So we had him in, I had him in 19, 20 and 20, and I left then kind of halfway through 21. But 19 and 20, 19 was such a chance missed. I think that he'd be looked at so differently in Kerry if we got over the line that 19 game. We're point up late on, obviously, and Rock ends up getting a free to draw it. But
you're a man up that day too.
Yeah, Cooper got sent off again against two yellows on Clifford in the first half. Yeah, that was a tough day. I suppose the 2021 was even tougher again, because we're 2 points up against Cork in Cork, and Mark Keane got the goal in the very last second. A shot drop short. On the
Luke Connolly's arrow into the sky, and
yeah,
Keane was probably the only man on the field that could have physically nudged Tommy Walsh out of the way to get it.
I think Kerry did everything right in that situation where Tommy was back. It was just, look, it just ended up in the net. And then in 21, Morgan gets that unbelievable free just before half time to give Tyrone that little bit of impetus going in half time. He kicked it from inside his own half. Do you remember that free?
Yeah. Absolute monster. 60 yards, yeah.
McKenna ends up getting a goal, and I think they got three goals in the end and beat us an extra time. Clifford went off injured and the wheel just came off a little bit, but again
Paddy kind of took the charge an extra time, but it just wasn't enough.
Yeah, again, like, for Pete, if I'm put myself in Peter's situation, I think those three games were so close, and you know, it was very much a case of what could have been. So
are you surprised that he's now returned to the intercounty scene? You obviously would have had him at club level then as well, but
no, Legion. I think he's well, I don't know what he's wanted, but I think that his place is in intercounty management. I hope that it goes well for him. He took us back with the Legion, but I mean, going from intercounty back to club, it's a hard transition. You know, it's an easier transition nearly the other way because you go, this is going to be a huge step up, but it's not a step down, but it's just different. I think that he needs to be all in at intercounty level, and I think Clare are going to have success under him, because they have a bit of a foundation there. They're getting a few players back. I think Sexton's back in the mix, isn't they?
I don't know specifics, but they're definitely getting a good few players back. Yeah.
Yeah. So they're in Division 3. They had a good cutoff at last year. They could easily go up to 2, and that's already a great start. You know, so I think that the Peter's cute. He's going to go in there. He's going to rally the troops, get some local knowledge in there, improve the side, and I would give them every chance of being promoted back up to 2 next year.
Yeah.
He's very, no, very solid. But he's been a huge part of my career all through, so I hope he does well.
Yeah. I was looking forward to getting your take on him. Big one for Clare. I think there was a lot of disappointment when they lost Mark Fitzgerald. I think they were very happy with how that had gone that first year, and plans are definitely afoot for next year. But just a bit of breaking news coming from the county this evening, and it's that the recently ratified Clare under 20 manager, Michael Nealan, has decided to resign from his role. So Nealan's been involved with the Clare 20s for a long time. He was actually in for the Clare senior job. And just the quote is kind of stuck out to me, because it's a quote we've heard quite recently. Due to circumstances outside of my control, I decided with regret to resign. Now, we did hear that before with Mickey Graham. Circumstances outside of his control leaves Leitrim. And then 3 weeks later, Galway maintained that there was no poaching going on or tapping up Jose Mourinho style. But 3 weeks later, Tory Joyce announced him as part of his junior recruits alongside
Dave Morris.
I'm not saying that Michael Nealan's going to end up in another intercounty job. I'm not saying that at all. I don't even know what the circumstances are. It could be very legitimate. I just wonder, is it a code for maybe not being happy with how things have gone on? So we'll keep an eye out on that one. And it was 6 years going for us. So maybe he had just done his time and he was finished with it. But definitely would have been highly regarded inside the county. And I know he had definitely gone for the job as well. So we'll keep an eye out on that one. But Keane, yeah, we'll see. We're still obviously left with one county without a manager, James. Has your phone rang? They obviously were looking at Peter Keane, Derry, but all we're getting now is people removing their names from the mix.
That's not a good sign. You know, every time we hear a name linked to Derry, it just gets pulled away fairly quickly. You know, there's something, either they're talking to people and something's not sitting right with the candidate, or They're saying, no, you know, I don't think I can fit in here. It's not a great look that these names are being linked and they're pulling their names away. I think that something's just a little bit off up there. But you're talking about going into a team who has genuine credentials to win the All-Ireland. It's not like you're going into a Division 3 team trying to get them up to Division 2 or trying to make hay in the National League. These can genuinely win the All-Ireland. Yeah. I'm shocked they don't have a manager. Shocked. There must be a queue out the door, but then once they get into the county board, they're having a look and seeing what is around the place, and they're saying, do you know what? I don't want that chance. And that shocks me. I'm genuinely so surprised. There should be a queue out the door for that gig.
There must be something going on. And maybe it's the fact that they left it too late to rule out the fact that Rory Gallagher, for obvious reasons, is not under consideration for the role. And maybe they left that too late. They were 10 weeks looking and searching before they put out that statement. So that was nearly 5 weeks ago that happened. That was 20th of September. They confirmed it. Gallagher obviously released a statement saying that he was looking to get back into inter-county management. And then they clarified that he wasn't under consideration. So you just have to wonder, because so many strong names have been linked to the position. And as you said, they're obviously going in and having a look. And they're obviously seeing something they're not happy with. So we'll wait and see.
I'd love to know at what stage it's breaking down at. Like at what stage are they saying, they're going up for the chat, that's fine. And then at some stage they're saying no. That's the worrying thing. You know, if they couldn't get anyone in the door to have the initial chat, I'd be worried. But obviously that's not the case.
Yeah. I know for sure that certain people have gone pretty far down the road of agreeing to the position before withdrawing their services. Like, that's pretty obvious that has happened. So,
but like the players you're going to get.
I know.
The players they're getting. It almost just needs a steer. It doesn't even need a big, massive shift in anything. But I mean, it's the 1 year, Tommy, that you need to have your act together. There's new rules coming in. You can't just land in and go, what are the rules again? You know, like, you have to have some serious work done with your players, see who's capable of doing what role when they do come in. Like, they need to have someone quickly.
Would it be ludicrous to suggest one or the elder statesman taking on a Johnny Giles-esque player manager role?
Yes, that would be ludicrous.
Did Tony Hanahoe do it back in the day in the 70s?
It's impossible.
Football changed too much in 50 years.
Well, I reckon inter-county management is almost a full-time job now. Like, you wouldn't want to be holding down a very busy career and take on an inter-county management job, I don't think.
You could obviously claim your player expenses and your manager expenses for mileage. So maybe that would be worth it.
Your expenses would be mad. Yeah, no,
worrying times. Now, there are some people suggesting, I'm just going to say what's being suggested. I haven't seen any proof that this is out there. I haven't seen any comments or quotes or it coming from any reputable sources, but people are suggesting that Derry do indeed have a manager lined up who's in club provincial action at the minute. But like, I just don't know who's left, because some of them have ruled themselves out already. Some of the obvious candidates have already ruled themselves out. So if there is somebody left and we've been sleeping on it.
The only thing is, the longer it goes on, the better deal the manager is going to get if there's a deal to be got. They're going to be into Man United mode here in a while with panic stations.
True.
They're going to have to get someone quickly. Yeah. So the power probably, they're losing a bit of power as well by the longer they leave it going.
Yeah. It's massive. A bit of good news for Derry. Maybe it's not even good news, but it's a bit of good PR for them. Jude McAtamney, former under-20 player. Thomas Niblock did a great piece for him during the week. After kicking his first points for the Giants in NFL. So that was a bit of history there. So he was on a talented 2018 Derry under-20 side. So they lost to the Washington Giants, just seeing it there, but definitely kicked the score earlier. We're at that time of the year, obviously, where the club champions are becoming losers. And they're going from having celebrated an historic achievement or winning a county title to having to drown their sorrows or do whatever they do when you lose a game. Like, it's a funny month in the calendar where
it is.
By the end of it all, there's only ever really one winner, you know? So would you
you're
be able
to lose at some stage?
Yeah.
But I think, do you know what? Your county board can really look after you here and put the final 2 weeks at least away from your provincial game. Like when it's a week later, you're not really giving yourself the best chance. I know just from the competition I was involved in last year was the intermediate in Kerry, and Milltown won it. And it was huge. Like to win that was massive. They players wanted to go and celebrate and have a good time and mark the achievement they'd done. And they were out a week later.
Yeah.
You know, in the Munster and lost. You know, what a chance it was to go on. But I mean, you don't know, should I celebrate or should I take it easy and go on? And next thing you've lost a chance to have a great success story. So I don't know. It's a hard one, but your county board can definitely help you out.
Yeah, for sure. We obviously had in the hurling this week the complete juxtaposition of Ballygunner winning their county championship on the 1st of September, and obviously doing what they do, waiting for Munster, and then Limerick and Doon winning last Sunday and going out today. Don't know if you saw the piece today with Darragh Donovan, and he played the greatest double bluff of all time at the end of my chat. Now, they were after winning their very first Limerick senior hurling title. We had a great 5-minute chat, and I was a pain. I had to ask him, but I just mentioned the word Ballygunner, and he just went, "Well, Ballygunner can forget about me. I won't be sober till Friday." Did you see his performance this evening? He was unbelievable. And they ran them all the way and just fell short. It was an unbelievable Stephen O'Keefe save at one stage for I don't know how he scooped it out, but Ballygunner got the job done eventually over Doon. But yeah, it's funny. So Errol Kieran on Saturday evening, a week after winning the Tyrone title, they bet Trillick 12 points to 10. Very tight game. KG, definitely know fellas probably maybe had a couple of days of celebrating. Derek Hamilton kept scoreless, had been struggling with injury beforehand. Rory kicked a couple of points, but it was Ben McDonald, the midfielder, who had an unbelievable last 10 minutes, kicked two belters and fisted over the winner.
The winner was class as well, because they worked it lovely, got the switch of play, Peter Hart. He just did
beautiful.
But he did a lovely dummy as well to get inside. Just those dummies, the fellas need to be practicing them so much, because the fellas are going for the big dives and you just get in around the back so easily.
So you'd excuse the fisted point if there's a bit of panache with a dummy beforehand? And is that an angle?
I would definitely excuse a fisted point. In that situation, I would rather, from skill and the viewer's point of view, if he had to kick that over still. Because it would have been a tricky enough finish from the side. But no, I must say, there were some lovely scores. Overall quality in front of goals, I think, left a lot to be desired. There was a couple of chances from both sides, especially Unions, where they were almost gimme scores, and they found a way to miss them or not take the shot. Or I think they left a lot out there. I think they should have kicked 15 or 16 points to leave there with 10. When, after the game, I was like, how did they only score 10 points? Like, there was way more in the locker there. But some very good performances. I think if they had Niall O'Donnell on the field for the whole game fit, I think they would have done the business. I mean,
we were just talking about him off air. He had a brilliant year for Donegal this year, and he picked up an injury in the build up to it. Yeah,
yeah. Even when he came on, he didn't look. There was a couple of chances I said go at him, and he kind of turned around and he couldn't do it. He just couldn't. I don't think he had that little injection of pace that he usually does. And he had to let them off the hook a couple of times. But I think that definitely had a big say in it.
Yeah. Errol Kieran go on to play Erin's own Carrigan of Antrim in the Ulster quarterfinal now. The other quarterfinals in Ulster, Erin Gales of Fermanagh, who won their first in 43 years at the weekend. Congrats to them. After a replay, they play Scotstown. Kilcoo are up against Cushlaw of Cavan. And Newbridge of Derry are playing Clonairn of Armagh and Conor Turbutt, Barry McCambridge. So they obviously are two All-Star winners as well for the first time. So Clonairn have had a great couple of weeks.
Before we go on, are going to be very dangerous in this. Very dangerous. Like they did not play well at the weekend. Like they have so much more in the locker. But the fact they got the little kick up the arse, little kind of, they were kind of led away with it. They could have easily been beaten. They can easily go into training now and say, lads, what a chance we have here. We got away with that, but now it's time to win Ulster. Yeah. Like they have a great chance there. I wouldn't be backing against them.
Yeah, they have a great kind of clatter of quality across the team as well. And they're obviously avoiding Kilcoo and Scotstown, who would have been in the latter stages of last year's Ulster Championship as well. So that's Ulster. In Limerick, Adair got the job done today. They bet Father Casey's in the football. Hubert to star. Kick won 3 or 4, I think. They had lost 3 finals consecutively before this, so that was massive for them to get over the line. And in Sligo, Clara Strandhill bet St. Malaz Gales by 8-7 after a replay. There was big controversy last week when we still don't know, and it would have helped if the referees were mic'd up, but there was a free at the end of the game. It was a draw. Malaz Gales, who lost the replay, had it, and one of the county players, instead of taking the shot from 40 yards, obviously it was like the clock was in the red, like, so there were seconds to go, whether it was the last kick or not. He went short to his teammate at the top of the D. Only a 5-yard pass, 10-yard pass. And as the ball is going over the bar, the referee blows a full-time whistle. So he had obviously, must have communicated, or maybe he didn't. They maintain he didn't, that it was the final shot of the game. So there was war over that at the time. And then they go on and they lose it the following week. So Clare Strandhill going back-to-back in Sligo. In Leinster, this phrase I used on Twitter got a bit of a reaction afterwards. I said, Lomans give Dunshaughlin a bit of a scutcherin. That's a bit of... Was your chair there, was it, James?
That was the chair. It was the chair. I'm not that bad.
2:17 to 2:4. And it was Fola Ayarende. Wait till you see this fella in action. He scored an unbelievable goal for Lomans. Brilliant stuff. They've had a clatter of intercounty stars. I hope we see Fola doing the business for Westmead. He scored an unbelievable goal. Could have got 2. But they give Dunshaughlin a right hammer and a score for Meath football. They've had a really poor return since Dunshaughlin won the Leinster 20-odd years ago. So they're out early. Tinahilly, this is one of the big stories of Wicklow. They tore the bookies to shreds. They were 5-1 to win today. They bet Port Arlington. Big shock. Bet them by a point. Again, Port Arlington had a free laid on. It was a tough one out towards the sideline, 40-odd yards out, but it just shows you the value of the free takers. Massive. And they had missed 2 shots just beforehand. Rian Murphy, their young Laois footballer, had a shot blocked and had a shot just trail wide or was kept in play. And the free taker went short to him. And Murphy's a left footer. And he had no angle on it. And he goes back out and it gets blocked again. Game over. So it just shows you the value of the free taker. But unbelievable for Tinahilly. And Killian McDonald, who I would have played a bit of football with when he was living down here. Brilliant young footballer. Young Wicklow footballer had set up their goal early doors for young Ging to bury it.
But so, you know, Tom, the two style players you really need now is a tight marker, because every time you're going to be playing someone, they're going to have at least one outstanding forward. You need an unbelievable tight marker and you need a free taker. If you have those two, you have such a chance, because you can manufacture frees in this weather. It's hard, it's sluggish, you know, the ground is soft, it's hard to get away from, fellas, lots of fouling. If you have a reliable free taker from all angles around 40 yards and that marker, I think they're the two crucial players.
You're really not doing your job if you haven't developed that in your club, right?
I mean, it's hard because this time of year is not for off-the-hands kickers either. I would always say off-the-hands kickers, perfect. But like, when it comes to All-Ireland Club Series, it's not the case. You need someone kicking the ball off the deck because it's so windy, so wet. You're tired. It's just a more reliable kick. And clubs aren't producing those kickers. Like, I had a chance nearly to start kicking off the ground. I was a decent kicker off the ground. But I was like, the amount of time I'd have to invest in that when I was already a decent kicker off the hand. So why would I need to put so much time into that? Like, the work you'd have to do for technique, for everything. What age? I just don't think I would have got enough bang for my buck.
When did you make your decision to do that? Like, because that's really interesting. I'd never considered that before.
Yeah. I'd say I was young. I was probably 16 or 17 or 18. I remember, Johnny Culty would be my club. I was a Kerry legend. He was always trying to get me to kick off the ground. He said, you'll need it. It's reliable. You're a left leg. You'll be on every team. Just be a left-legged kicker off the ground. He was like, it's a cheat code. And I was like, yeah. And I obviously did it for a while. And I was like, the amount of time I have to put into this.
Really?
You know, when I could be doing my right leg, or I could be kicking off hands from different angles. It's like, it has to be your main thing. You have to love it.
Yeah.
I think you have to love it. If you don't love it, you're not going to put in the time. I didn't love it. But like, I could see Sheehan and Shawnee Shea, they love that strike. Do you know, it's like, put that ball down anywhere and just even the noise of their foot hitting the ball is so sweet and pure. And the reaction of the crowd, they play up to it. It's just a great skill to have, but it has to be your main thing. You have to be the free taker for your whole career.
You can just picture Sheehan with the hands on the hips before he lines up to strike it.
So often, though, I'm watching games. And I actually think I said Sheehan had slot this 20 yards over the bar.
I've heard you say that beside you in Crow Park. Yeah.
Yeah. And he just, it would come in lovely, just at the right time. And he just jog off. It was such an advantage to have on your team.
The mechanics.
When he came on this 14 final. We were under serious pressure. We needed a point. And we got a free, I'd say 50 meters out.
Yeah.
From the middle. And if I was on, if he wasn't on the field, we'd have had to go short. We'd have had to try and work a shot. God knows where it would have ended up. Sheehan puts it down and rattles it 20 yards over the bar, point. Looking at a kick out, they're under pressure again. You know, it's such an advantage.
Yeah,
it should be coached. It should be coached a lot more. But what I would say is you need to get someone. If I was actually coaching a younger team now, I'd say I'd pick a fella who wasn't an outstanding player in other with other attributes. I wouldn't pick the fittest fella. I wouldn't pick the fastest fella or the fella who loved scoring goals. I'd pick someone else that had a good strike. I'd say your thing can be this. You can be an influential player by being such a reliable free taker, and you'll always make this team and just make it their thing. Every night they should be kicking. But it just takes so much work, especially off the ground.
Yeah. Can I just, and can we just, we'll head off soon, right? Because I know you finished that bottle of red there beside you. Spotted it when you were going. I'm only joking. I was only a glass of red. We're all allowed a glass of red on a Sunday. I had a glass earlier on as well. I just want to ask you about the mechanics of that, because I would consider myself to have a big boot, right? I can kick a ball a long way. I would even think in a match, I would nearly pride myself on being able to kick from distance from my hands.
Mm-hmm.
Put the ball on the deck. I can't get it 20 yards.
Yeah.
I can't, like I just can't. And we, like, I can't even get my head around the technique. Like, what is the mechanic of it, like?
But, like, you see fellas taking corners in a soccer match and they're messing it up. Like, I don't know. I think it's such a tough skill, but it takes hours and hours of practice. And the way I was taught was always, like, you have to treat it like a golf shot. You're either going to fade it or you're going to draw it. And you've got your two options. Like, but
I've seen you golfing, James.
What? Is that a fade or a draw that I think of?
A no, baby fade.
You, next time I play, I'm telling you, I'm going to come out on top.
Okay, I'm looking forward to that. I'm looking forward
But the
to
thing
that.
Is, do you know what? There's different styles as well. With Sheehan, he put everything into every kick. Even if he took a penalty. I remember Brian Kelly used to say, whenever he had Sheehan on the penalty in training, he'd be like, oh, fuck's sake. Because he'd put it down and he would side foot so powerful.
Okay.
Either side. No chance to save it. And yeah. It was same when he was taking a free. He was never dropping it over the bar. It was solid as a rock, straight, with that little curl at the end. Just a beautiful strike, but
class. Okay.
Everything was always so
good. We'll do. We've got a couple of episodes planned. I hope everyone got a chance to check out the Conor Turbin, Nathan Forker Football Pod Club episode we did last week with AIB. We loved it. It was great. We got to sit down with the lads for an hour and a half. We had a great crack with them. Learned lots about Armagh's story this year. I think we're going to get someone who's got a kicking off the ground on the Football Pod Club. Mm. And I'll ask them that question. And we might just pair him up with somebody who's good from kicking out of the hands. So we'll keep that one in the back pocket for a little while. But we've got a couple of, that might be episode 3. We've got a couple of big episodes lined up now. We're keeping them under lock and key.
If you think about even injuries, the stress in the body kicking off the ground, groins, knees, hips, back, everything. You can't just, there's no way you can kind of trot onto the field and you kick a few handy ones over the bar off the hands.
Yeah.
You can't throw it down off the ground and start lamping balls. Like.
Yeah.
It's just a different mindset. You have to be so tuned into it and so obsessed by it, I think. That's where the best players are.
Okay. Last result of the weekend that I'm going to mention is Mary's RD beating Abilara Longford in Leinster. So the Jacksons in fine form there. That was a really interesting chat about kicking off the ground. We're going to pull the plug after this, James, right? You're happy with the fact that the Football Review Committee and Central Council have decided to reduce the value of the goal from 4 points to 3 ahead of Special Congress at the end of the month.
No, I'm not happy they've reduced it. I'm happy they've kept it at 3.
Okay, so you're happy that they've removed the enhancement?
I'm happy they've reduced the enhancement. 4 points is too much. We're going to see loads of goals. I think that's a given.
Even when a two-pointer is worth a two-pointer and a goal is only worth three.
A two-pointer is a 50% shot. I agree it's going to be a huge part of the game, but it's not a gimme.
Okay.
I've heard already people say, oh, that, you know, coaches are just going to coach teams to kick two-pointers all day. It's not that easy. Like, there's going to be a defensive system in place to stop that. That's why I think you're going to get in easier on the back. If you left that at 4 points, I just think it's mumbling it up too much. I think three for a goal is perfect. 1, 2, 3. Lovely. Okay. I think it'll work well.
Okay. We had planned to go every 2 weeks with the pod, right? And I know we've no Paddy tonight, so apologies about that. And I'll let Paddy apologize himself the next time he's on. But I'm kind of worried that if we leave it 2 weeks, too many things could change in the world. The last time we spoke, Eric Ten Hag was still Manchester United manager. And now we've got Ruud van Nistelrooy in charge and a new fella appointed from Portugal. You're happy with this new appointment, James?
With Ruben Amorim?
Yeah.
I am very, very happy.
Yeah, you definitely were excited during the week. Why are you so excited?
I just think he has the Man United aura. So does Ruud, to be fair. I think Ruud does. Ten Hag didn't. And I was a supporter of Ten Hag because he was Man United manager. But he didn't have any charisma. He had no je ne sais quoi, you know, he just didn't have it. He looked, and I've heard it so many times in management. He wasn't a big man, right? He was a small...
Ten Hag?
Physically, physique-wise, he was very small.
Well, he was slim, but he's tallish, no?
He's not. I think he's only... He's okay. 5-something. He's 5'8 or 5'9, isn't he?
Come on. I would
like my manager to be like Van Nistelrooy.
I was trying to explain that to Schieffer earlier on. That... just Ruud,
stature.
Right?
How we look.
It's more the club legend element
the
of
club
it.
Club legend, one thing, but
you talk more about the fact that he's not bald. That seems to be the thing that you're talking about here. Because, like, we try not to reveal too much from the Football Pod WhatsApp group, but, like, we're back, baby. Amorim is pure United, young, good looking, cocky as fuck, name on the trophy. Like, these are the things you value in your Manchester United manager.
Andrews pipes in.
He has a great beard. We've got a chance.
Van Nistelrooy's rocking the beard as well and the turtleneck.
Jesus, Ten Hag was only 5'9.
Ten Hag just did not scream leadership. I think if he said something to you, you'd nearly roll your eyes. And I would never say that when he was manager because obviously United fans are very loyal.
Mm.
Never go against the manager, but he had to go.
Yeah.
Get someone in who's going to demand.
Well, Ruben's the same height, but he's a full head of hair. Which
head of hair and a beard.
Which seems to mean a lot to you.
Is he only 5'9 as well, Amorim?
Yeah, he is, yeah. But that's just perception, man. He's a shiny new thing in town. I'm struggling to get excited because I just don't believe in this group of players. I don't believe in this group of players. I just don't. I'm sorry. I love Manchester United. I'm just sick.
I don't think they're missing
down.
That much. They're probably only missing three.
My heart's broken looking at them half the time.
Do you know Garnacho? Oh, God. I don't know. His conversion rate. He wouldn't make it into the county team here. His conversion rate is so bad. 1 from 10, maybe. It's just not enough.
Yeah. Yeah. I think, yeah, we'll have to see. Now, he's young now, so we'll see. Maybe Ruben has a difference. I wasn't going to bring this up at all, right? But seeing as he's not here, Andrews, and I've been now sent this bloody twice, I kind of want to call it out. This is the last thing about the pod this week. Brought to you, as always, by AIB, proud sponsors of the football, the hurling, the ladies football, and the Camogie Club All-Ireland Championships. Check out hashtag the toughest for more. But have you got doppelgangers? Because I've been sent this fella.
Oh, yeah.
Three times now in the last few days. I'm not
the
happy
fella
with
on the Arsenal bench.
Yeah, Afadalad, one on Twitter, said, has Tommy Rooney left the Football Pod, lads? At Paddy, at James. And a screenshot that I put on screen for YouTube of a fella over Arteta's shoulder on the back room, on the bench there. Yeah, I
no, your ears stick out way more than that.
I don't know.
He is the absolute head off you, to be fair.
I was gonna totally ignore it, and then an old colleague of mine just sent it on to me as well.
He is the head off you. He looks older though.
Yeah, so
Arteta, I don't agree with you, doesn't he?
He does look shook there. He's rattled. But I just wanted to bring it up because a doppelganger of Paddy Andrews was sent to me during the week as well. And I want to see the people believe in it. Now, I certainly felt that the real Paddy Andrews. So what do you think of this? This is a Remus Umo, obviously the fashion brand. And it's a screenshot from it. Are you seeing a bit of Paddy Andrews there? A bit of Paddy there? I'm not seeing Paddy.
A little bit, actually.
Yeah. Where I thought Paddy was... and I said this off air a couple of weeks ago, and this is the final bit, right? Because what was the name of the bloody TV series Liev Schreiber is in? I think he's a banger for it. The Perfect Couple. Or Live. Am I saying his name wrong there? I think that's Paddy Andrews. I'm going to stick it up on screen. And James O'Donoghue, obviously. Barry Keoghan from The Banshees of Inisherin.
Saltburn. Do you watch Saltburn?
Yeah. Are you saying that's where the resemblance starts and ends, is it?
That is.
Yeah. If you've got any other doppelgangers,
drinking bath water.
Oh, Jesus Christ. We might just leave the football pod there.
Barry lived in Clarnefoyle, actually.
He did, didn't he? Yeah.
Yeah.
We must try and get him on the pod sometime.
Friend of the pod.
Yeah. We'll get him on the pod sometime. Yeah. All right, James O'Donoghue, thanks for taking time out of your Sunday evening to join myself and the Football Pod listeners. We'll get a hold of Andrews and find out where he was watching the United Chelsea game, because he's the bloody fella that told us to record at 8 o'clock tonight. For more on that, tune in to next week's Football Pod. And if you haven't seen it yet, please do check out episode 1 of the Football Pod Club with Conor Turbin and Aidan Forker, who are now both all stars. Conor's obviously won a club championship with his club as well in the last couple of weeks. And they tell us about Armagh's journey to Sam. And we've got some brilliant episodes planned over the next couple of weeks, both on the club season and also with the Football Pod Club, our new series, with thanks to AIB. James O'Donoghue, have a great week. We'll catch up soon.
You too, Tom.